Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Mets had just a brutal weekend. Listen, let's get to the good real quick. All right, and then we'll get to the misery that really has been this Met team that now finds themselves 16-18, 7.5 games back of the red-hot Philadelphia Phillies. And this Met team has really, after having that great stretch, after winning taking that Atlanta series, coming back from being down 0-5 to start the year, and the way they battled back and had that winning streak, they have not played well since taking that second game against the Dodgers. That's just a fact. They lost that last game against the Dodgers, then they lose 2 out of 3 to the Giants, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals, they split with the Cubs, and now they've been swept by the Rays. And they are 16-18. Now, the positive nature is what we saw Saturday from Christian Scott, who, what I loved about his performance the most, and look, you heard Wainwright on the broadcast, which again, I don't know how I feel about that broadcast. Wainwright was, okay, but he was annoying at times. Praise for everybody. He's talking about, Greg Maddux, and like, it was just a lot of comparisons to great players. But ultimately, I agree with him that it looked like Scott's fastball plays up. Right, and again, I was busy with the kids. I zipped through it a little bit. I didn't hear all the interviews with his father, but amazing. It's always fun when a big time, and I don't know if I call him a big time, but a legitimate prospect who's having an incredible start to his year in AAA or the minor leagues, and a name we've heard for a while, and he comes up, and I love the idea. Love. Because at first, right, you're not sure if it's just, oh, they're going to go to a six-man rotation, blah, blah, blah. I love that Stearns had no problem moving Hauser to the bullpen. This is a guy he traded for. This is a guy who's been a part of the team he built in Milwaukee. This is a guy they traded for, a guy they obviously targeted. They brought him here. You know what? You're not pitching well enough. See ya. And especially as you talk about, building and developing and wanting to see what the kids can do. Not that Hauser gives you an added advantage. Get rid of him. I think it's, but you want to see the kids. Let him come up. Let him pitch. Why are you allowing Hauser to pitch poorly in the rotation? Send him to the bullpen. If things change, things change. But right now, I would think the way Scott performed, he's going to be in the rotation for at least a couple starts he's going to get. And that aspect of it, to give up, I don't want to give up might be strong, but to be willing to move a guy out of the rotation that you targeted, that you traded for, that you brought here, and to do it before the middle of May? I like the message that sends to the team. I do. I think that's a good move. I like it. He comes here, and what I like most about his performance, he gives up the 3 hits and the run right away. Right? The nerves of making your first major league performance. Your dad and family are in the building. You've gotten off to this great start. Now, he said he wasn't nervous. He said he slept like a baby. But he gets out there and boom, he gets hit with some adversity and gives up a run and 3 hits. And then immediately battles back, turns on a gear, pitches great, and starts the 7th inning. And his stuff legit plays. There's no doubt about it. I don't need Thomas Nito to tell me that his stuff plays. Tomas Needle. Nito, I know. I always say Thomas, my son. I don't need Nito to tell me that his stuff plays. I mean, his fastball does play up. They had all kinds of uncomfortable swings. The kid looks legit. And I love the fact the Mets are going to roll with him. I like that they're willing to give up or move on from Hauser. And we're going to see how he performs moving forward. But to fall nicely into a pitching staff that really has kind of overachieved, we'll get to some of the poor performances in the series. But overall, I think that is a bright spot to see a young kid. I mean, when's the last time a legit prospect has come up and made us, you're talking Syndergaard, you're talking, Mats. It's been a while. And that was a lot of fun. It was a good performance. It was a very good game. Ultimately, the you know he gets the DeGrom treatment that everybody likes to talk about, at least all Met fans like to talk about, and they lose 3-1. But overall, this series, I mean, just you got it in every way, shape, and form. Right? You haven't been able to give Quintana runs all year. You give him a quick three, and he gives you the worst performance he's given you all year. He was just non-competitive. And right now, viewing him as your ace, top of the staff, I know Severino might be pitching that way up until yesterday. But, I mean, for a guy that you rely on, a guy at the top of the rotation right now, you want his worst to be a little bit more like what you got from Severino and not non-competitive. And he was just brutally bad in the game. So what do? They score runs. They can't pitch. They pitch great. They can't score runs. 3-1 on Saturday. And then you get the coup de grace, blown save by your guy, Diaz, who I'm not worried about necessarily, but he's not been as good. I know he hadn't blown a save in a while, but he's given up some runs here. And that's really the least of the problems necessarily. The big problems are obvious. The big problems are the two guys I heard Lori talk about, the two guys we're all going to talk about, as long as Lindor is coming through with spots, which he has over the last few weeks. Right now, Pete Alonso looks completely lost. Completely lost. He is absolutely killing the Mets. He's come up in big spots. He hits the double play with the bases loaded. This is a guy. Now, I know everyone's going to jump to contract year. Can he handle it? Can he handle the pressure? Let me tell you something right now. I don't know if this contract year is affecting Pete. But if there is a narrative that Pete Alonso isn't a clutch player or can't deal with pressure or doesn't come up big in the big spot, I know it's been a while since his rookie season, but his rookie season, and I think times at last year and certainly the 101 win season, I see Pete Alonso coming through with big hits all over the place, including earlier in this year, the home run against Detroit. I don't have any fear whatsoever that Pete Alonso, that this is the moment's too big for him. He's not a clutch player. He's in a funk. And the problem with Pete Alonso, much like his compadre, who's in a funk as well, and Jeff McNeil, who looks, I mean, awful as well and is killing them and is putting up numbers that aren't major leaguers. And that's the thing. Pete Alonso is a good hitter. All right? I like Pete Alonso. But when he struggles, he doesn't provide anything else to help you. That's the problem with Pete. And that's why he's not going to get the contract he wants. And I don't want to compare him to Aaron Judge because it's not fair, but Aaron Judge has been brutally bad, one of the worst months of his entire career. But if you look at it, he draws walks, and he plays in a very good center field right now and outfield. And while Alonso's okay at first base, and I hate people who diminish first base and the importance of it overall, but let's be honest, a corner infielder who only hits home runs and when he struggles doesn't get on base, if he struggles offensively, he doesn't provide you enough. He needs to be at his best to be helping the team. Judge helps the team defensively. Other guys who struggle at different positions or do different things, Judge will still draw walks. Judge will still play great defense. Judge can help you in different ways. Alonso and certainly McNeil. If McNeil is not hitting 310 at the bare minimum, what does he do for you?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We've talked about this a lot. He has a little bit of defensive flexibility, but he's not good anywhere. I don't think he's a good defender at any position he plays. Now, he plays a couple of different ones, but is he good at any of them? He doesn't draw walks. He doesn't get on base. All he does is hit 320, and he hasn't done that for more than 200-plus games. He scares me. I know I compared Pete Alonso to Judge. It's unfair. But I do view them in the same aspect where Pete's going to come out of this. Pete hits 40 home runs a year. Right? Now, you could view it differently. If Pete's going to hit 40 home runs and hit 205, not as good. He doesn't get on base. He doesn't walk enough. He's not going to have an OPS. He's not going to have an on-base percentage. The home runs are nice. Don't get me wrong. RBIs and home runs are extremely important. But you want him to hit at least, I don't know, 250, 260, along with the 40 home runs. But I have no doubt. I mean, that's what Pete does. Jeff McNeil is up and down, and we were hoping for an up season, and we were kind of expecting one, but it has been a continuation of his terrible year last year. I mean, these two guys right now, I know Lindor is killing them, but or has been killing them. He's been much better, obviously. Hits a two-run home run the other day. Like, has the big hits on the game winner against the Cubs, being sick. Like, he's come through a little bit. He's turning it around. And I believe Alonso will. I don't think this is something where he's dealing with the money. I was at, like I said, my nephew's communion. And, you know, one of his cousins' boyfriends was there. And he's a big Met fan. And he was complaining about, he's playing himself right into the trade deadline. And that might be true. I don't know. I still believe in Pete Alonso. He's struggling. And he's killing them right now. But Jeff McNeil is a major, major problem. And the other problem, clearly, coming out of this series, I mean, what'd the Rays have? 7 stolen bases in this game? I forget where I saw it, whether it was on the broadcast or someone put it up on Twitter or wherever. The opposition is stealing at a 96% clip against the Mets. The Mets throw no one out. And you saw Lindor be furious at Diekman for paying no attention to the runner at second in extra innings. Absolutely no attention whatsoever. The Mets pitching staff pays less attention to runners on base than any pitching staff I've ever seen. Now, I feel like they're doing a relatively good job. The bullpen is arguably the best unit on the whole team. Gary Reed's been an incredible story. Ottavino, up until the other day where he had a bad outing on Saturday, has been really good for them, barely throwing any balls. I mean, the guys had this incredible streak of, right there, I think there was a streak of not hitting a three-ball count or whatever. He's come out throwing strikes. He's been good. Diaz, for the most part, while not having the same season to start as he did a couple years ago, and obviously his first blown save yesterday in a big spot, too. That's what kills you about it. I mean, that's a game you don't want to get swept. And you got your guy on the mound with 2 outs and 2 strikes, and he hangs a slider, throwing a bunch of sliders, having not a lot of confidence in his fastball. But ultimately, I mean, you can't get too upset with Diaz, but that's a brutal spot to blow a save. the starting rotation, I feel, has had a propensity to walk a lot of guys. But ultimately, I feel pretty good about Manaea, even though he's walking a ton and how he's battled. Severino, up until yesterday, has had that fastball command that he didn't have yesterday and has done really well, pitched really well, gone deep into games a little bit. Same thing with Quintana, had a miserable start in this series, but overall has been pretty good. I feel like the rotation's probably better than you thought it would be, numbers-wise, and the bullpen is one of the better ones in baseball and probably the strength of this team right now, but they don't pay attention to the runners. And what is it, three runners they've thrown out all year long? It's a 96% clip, seven stolen bases in this game. It is free reign to run against the Mets right now. You can't function like that. I understand they changed the rules. I understand the bases are bigger. I understand that the disengagements are limited, whatever the case may be. Like, anyone with any kind of speed turns a single into a double at will against the Mets. It's been an enormous issue for this team, and it killed them in this series. So the Mets right now are doing things bad teams do. They're doing the typical score runs, pitching lets you down. Pitching's great, offense can't do anything. You're blowing saves, you're giving up your leaders are struggling, Alonso, McNeil, core members of the team. You get to an opportunity to win the game, your all-world closer blows it. You lost three to a team that had come in losing four consecutive series, including getting swept by the White Sox. This is not a good Rays team. I know the Rays, you don't even think about it, right? Especially for a Met fan who might not, if you're not an enormous baseball fan, might not follow the Rays regularly, but what do you know about the Rays? The smartest team in baseball, they do more with less, they're always in it, they got off to the incredible start last year, they make the playoffs all the time, the Rays are good. This Rays team stinks. And you went into that building and got absolutely beat up in every which way. I understand. Christian Scott's a nice little snippet to take from this series and hopefully moving forward. I mean, ultimately, if you want to call me up, 877-337-6666, and tell me that's the most important thing that happened this weekend, you can make probably a somewhat of a compelling argument. But right now, this Met team, who you were hoping was hitting their stride, right? Who had bounced back from the miserable 0-5 start, who took a series in Atlanta, who beat the Royals, who swept the Pirates, who went on that West Coast trip and figured out a way to be 500 and taken 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers since that moment has been bad. They've just been bad. Offensively, they've been bad. In the big spot, they've been bad. And throwing out runners, forget about it. That's a tough weekend. That's a tough weekend. And you got a series in St. Louis coming up, and it's time to return the favor and get on track. And Pete Alonso, who wants to make all this money, who changed agents, signed with Scott Boras, Evan's growing the beard and the hair, and I still want him to be a Met. Don't get me wrong. My view hasn't changed on it. I still think you keep players like this. I still want homegrown talent. I still want a guy who hits 40 home runs with his eyes closed year after year. But the problem with Pete, for me, is when he's like this, when he's flailing at pitches, when he's popping up with runners in scoring position, when he's hitting to double plays, when he just looks lost at the plate, striking out on three pitches, just not looking like Pete Alonso, not hitting the home runs, not driving the baseball. He doesn't do enough when he's not, like, even Lindor, right? Lindor makes that incredible defensive play in the hole, comes home. He's going to play gold glove caliber shortstop. He's one of the best shortstops in the league. He plays excellent defense at a premium position. That doesn't excuse his elongated slumps. It doesn't excuse last year's June swoon when he had nothing to offer the team. But at least he provides you something while he's struggling. The two guys right now who are struggling for me, Alonso and McNeil, I don't want to call them, I certainly don't want to call Pete a one-trick pony. I'm comfortable calling McNeil that on some level. They don't do enough when they're struggling. They don't provide enough. They don't help enough. They don't also draw walks. They don't also play good defense. They don't also help you in any manner. If Alonso's not hitting home runs and driving the baseball, he doesn't help. And if McNeil's not hitting 315, he doesn't help. And right now they're hurting. And the Mets just got swept in a series against the lousy Rays. Lousy. Wearing the most hideous uniforms I have ever seen. What is with, and you know, I don't want to get into it because I killed the uniforms already. I hate the Mets City Connect. I think they're ugly. Fliegelman's got the hat on. I think that's the best part of it. I like the bridge going across. I like the hat. I think the uniforms are hideous. What's with this? Why are they gray? I don't like the Met ones. The Tampa Bay uniforms are just atrocious. Those uniforms are hideous. So you lost to a lousy team looking lousy, wearing ugly uniforms, and you got beat by a Rosarena who's been struggling this year, who can't catch up to fastballs. That's the book on him. His bat speed's down this year. He can't catch up to fastballs, and you're hanging sliders to him. Frustrating weekend for the Mets. You might be one of these Met fans who could take out the Scott start and hopefully the addition to the rotation and the upgrade of him over Hauser should make an impact on this team. But I feel like the pitching's been fairly good. This offense is struggling, and they can't put good performances together. They are not playing winning baseball. They're playing losing baseball. And hopefully it starts anew tonight in St. Louis.